Hey everyone, welcome back to Recently Retired episode 8, where we're going to talk about injuries and setbacks. This is definitely a topic of conversation of interest to me, obviously.
So pick me.
Yeah, extraordinarily pick me. But yeah, we're just going to talk about ups and downs of injuries and setbacks, how you kind of build resilience, and I don't know. Yeah.
Have you ever had any injuries?
Just like a few, but like they were minor setbacks for a major comeback.
Okay, great. Do you want to explain to the audience? I guess we can start kind of like when we were kids and in high school and stuff. Like, did you have any injuries then? Or setbacks?
Oh, as a kid, no, I didn't really have any. Okay, you're not going to sniffle into the microphone. Anyways, as a kid, I didn't really have a lot of injuries or setbacks. Yeah, I was very, very blessed as a kid, even into high school. Like, never even had an ankle sprain. And was pretty healthy. I think I had, like, a small knee injury that was, like, literally nothing. I don't remember, Libby. Was I ever out for anything?
All the coaches got kicked out of that game for nothing.
I know. That was so embarrassing, guys. Like, this girl, like, hit me or something, and I, like, went down screaming because I, like, literally thought I tore something. I was obviously just being a baby. At the time, little would I know karma would come back to bite me. Bite me. Anyways,
our coaches like went, wolf.
Yeah, our coaches like went ballistic. Okay, but I'm like, you're grown men. I did not make you go ballistic on a ref. I was just crying, and they like, I don't know, like the ref didn't call it or something, but I don't know. Anyways, that was a very minor knee injury.
Someone got a red card for like just running on the field without the ref saying they could because you were down and screaming in pain.
Why so are that you putting one was quotations?
Your, that one was your fault. I was doing quotations for pain.
I was in pain.
Fake pain. Anyways, so that one was your fault.
Okay. Well, so then the other two coaches on the sideline got kicked out. So we literally had no coaches on our sidelines. No, but I feel like we were both pretty blessed. Libby, I can't remember if you had any setbacks besides your little ankle sprains.
Yeah, just sprained my ankles like twice in high school.
How did you overcome that?
I just iced it a lot and rested.
Like, how did you overcome that? Because like that sounds really, really challenging.
Some may call it rice. Rest. Ice, compress, and elevate.
Not racing.
It's like a really good technique to bounce back.
So if any of our listeners are going through or may eventually in their life have an ankle sprain, rice that baby. Rice that bad boy.
Just rice it up. Like, Dad had that huge red bucket. 15 minutes in, 15 minutes out. Works like a charm. No, those were pretty... The one at Robinson Hill was so painful. But that was because Taylor Schramm was like, take your cleat off, let me look at it. And the literal number one rule when you sprain your ankle is like, do not take your shoe off immediately. Because the swelling will hurt so bad. And that happened. But yeah, no, I mean, it was fine. I was like back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I can now understand. I can now understand the pain of an ankle injury.
It's no joke.
That's not that big of a deal.
But yeah, it's fine, like usually after, but
we'll like get into my ACL tears here in a minute. But like, I had two ACL tears. I had some complications. Had to do like these PRP injections, which I explained in the first episode. If you haven't listened, go listen to that now. And then come back. Anyways,
stop yelling at the audience.
So I like got, you know, came back from both of those and was like, still managed to not have an ankle sprain, never have my ankle taped, which like all, like most of my teammates, you know, had at least an ankle injury or had got their ankle tapes at one point in their career. And I'm a fifth year, my last season ever playing, and we're in the last regular season game before playoffs. And we're in New Jersey playing NJIT. Like 15 minutes into this game, I'm like dribbling at this defender, you know, thinking I'm like going to beat her one-on-one. And I step on her foot and roll my ankle off of her foot. And I just hear like 14 cracks. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I just broke my foot. Like,
no, ankle. That's what happened.
Like, I just shattered it. So if that happens to you, like, it may not be broken. It may just be a sprain. But that was new to me, new information. So then I get off of the field and I'm like crying. I'm like, I don't want like my career to end like this. Like, this is bullshit. And I sit on like the trainer's table and my like, it's not even on my ankle. It's like almost like halfway up my shin. There's just a giant ball. Like, it's huge. And I look down and I just start like, I literally look away. I'm like screaming. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, what is that? To our trainer, Caitlin, at the time. I'm like, what is that? And she's like, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what that is. We're just going to kind of let it go for a sec. And we kind of just let it, like, you know, hang out there on the sidelines. And then we end up winning the regular season. So we play in the the semifinals a week from that Thursday. So I have 1 week. Get home, get the x-rays. It's not broken. It's just a sprain. So then I have to start doing like ankle rehab, learning how to tape my ankle, and then play my last ever game that following Thursday with like a giant ankle and then ankle tape, which I had never worn before. But anyways, that was just like a funny story. Like, why? Like, we were just like, I was like a week away from never having to deal with an ankle injury. And they could not let me slide. Whoever's in control of that just did not want me to get out scratch free, you know?
Can't blame them. Yeah, that was crazy. No thanks.
I was just like, I wish I could show you guys a picture right now, but like, we're not, me and Olivia are probably the least technical, like, your technology.
Tech savvy.
Tech savvy, yeah, thank you. People in the world. So we're barely getting our Instagram reels up of us, and only I'm doing that because Libby doesn't know how, and she won't even try.
Correct.
Which is rude because I've asked you to many times. But anyways, yeah, that was a fun story. And I just battled through that pain, you know, and just came back and played a lot of rice.
Yeah, I mean, you're a warrior.
Rice absolute warrior.
Yeah, on race that. Really works.
And then I got a tattoo on that foot the next day after that.
WGS.
Whoop, I'm Gundam style. Wait, Grace was telling me the funniest story about this guy at a bar asking her about her tattoo.
So many people ask, and I'm just like, I'm not getting into this right now.
She's just like, so to the guy, she's like, so you know the song Whoop 'em Gundam Style? Or no, she's like, you know the song Gangnam Style? And he's like, yeah, I know that song. She's like, well, it stands for Whoop 'em Style. And then like, so many people when we got these tattoos were like, you're not going to be able to say that to anyone. She's in a bar talking to this guy, like trying to like maybe flirt, and is like, yeah, no, it means Whoop 'em Gundam Style.
No, I told like, one of my students that, and they were like, I thought it was Whoop'em too. I'm like, exactly. Like, not everyone knows it's Whoop'em. Like, he was like, no, I thought it was Whoop'em. So I was like, exactly. That's why it's tatted.
Right. And he, you know, he's probably thinking in his head, before I get it tattooed on my body, I might look it up and make sure that it's Whoop'em. But that's really besides the point, you know?
There's no fun in that.
No. So WGS stands.
Yeah. So, getting back to injuries, do you want to talk about your first scrimmage in college?
Yeah, sure. It was really fun, guys. No, so we, you know, we're high school, yeah, high school, which graduated in like June. And then we had to kind of prepare for preseason, doing all the fitness tests, everything. And we I think started like August 5th or something. And we had the 2 days of fitness testing, and I passed both of my fitness tests, which was like a literally like 6:15 mile. Never again will I ever do something like that.
Are we bragging? Like, I asked about the scrimmage, not about the fitness test.
I'm not bragging. I'm saying it was ridiculous to ever run a 6:15 mile.
Then some people run marathons under 5 minutes every mile.
Well, I'm not one of those people. Soon my half marathon pace was like pushing 10.
I will never do that.
Anyways, okay, then we had another fitness test. Anyways, I passed it. I was like, you know, excited about finally playing and stuff. And then we had our first scrimmage a week later. I was starting. It was against Bucknell. And we played like 3:30 minutes, just like that's what you do in scrimmages instead of 2:45s. And the first one went, you know, good. I was like adjusting to the faster pace. And then we start the second 30. Libby's out there with me. And about 30 seconds into that second 30, I was like going shoulder to shoulder with this girl for a ball. And I could like still remember it so vividly. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to beat her to this ball. Like, I'm quick. And I step wrong. And I just feel like my knee just like give out into like three or four different like pops. And I just like yell. And I remember falling and like grabbing it because it felt like it was out of place. Like, I remember holding like one hand on my thigh, one hand on my calf, because I was like, oh my God, my knee like fell apart. Like, it just like, it felt super unstable. So I was like trying to hold it together. And I remember the Bucknell girl being like, I didn't even touch her. I'm like, obviously it wasn't you, ma'am, if I'm screaming in pain from a shoulder bump. Oh my God. Yeah. I wanted to punch her in her face. Anyways, went down with that. And then it was kind of like, I, you know, had a feeling it was my ACL, but I, you know, it was my first time, so I wasn't sure. When I came out, our trainer like looked at it. She didn't have like the best face on. Like, she was kind of like, you know, we're going to just see and wait. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And then I remember like going into the locker room because they were going to like get me on Game Ready, which is like an ice machine. And I remember chucking my shin guards and cleats at the locker, like literally like a Troy Bolton scene of like getting your anger out. And then I just like laughed at myself after that. I'm like, did I really just chuck my stuff at my locker?
Yeah, you did. And you left it there.
Yeah. Anyways, whoops. We went into sports med. I got on Game Ready, and our brother Parker at the time was playing on the men's soccer team. So he came down, and he tore his ACL going into his freshman year. So like in June or July. So he had just recovered. So he was like a year and 2 months out of his ACL. And he comes down, and he's like looking at me on ice. He's like, Tay, like, all you gotta do is get up and try to run. And like, if you can't, like, well, like, you're fucked. But like, if you can, you're good, you know? Like, you just got to just try to run it. Now our trainer looks at him and goes, get out. Get out. Like, now. It was, like, so obnoxious. And, yeah, then I went to get my MRI. And they're like, what music do you want to listen to, Tori? And I was like, oh, country's good. Like, it was, you know, summer, August. And they play the song Good Vibes by, I forget who sings it, Chris. I can't remember exactly who the
I don't know
artist is, but anyways, it's the song I'm feeling them good vibes, I'm living on God's time. Anyways, I'm like, oh yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh my God, this is such a good sign. Like, who isn't feeling good vibes in this MRI? But I still, like, in the back of my mind was like, it's probably not good, but I'm loving that I'm hearing this song. And then we go to the doctor's office for them to read it. And our head coach, Neil, like, comes with me. Like, he's in the room with the doctors and my mom. And the doctor's like, you know, he comes in, he, like, reels over to me. And he's like, you know, so we got the MRI. Like, you know, there's no ACL present in the MRI. Like, you've torn your ACL. And I'm just sitting there, like, like, just, like, smirking. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, my head coach is in there. I've only been his player for a week. Like, obviously, we knew him before, and, like, I was comfortable with him there, but I'm just like, what do I even do or say? And Neil just, like, comes and, like, pats me on the shoulder. I'm like, this is so weird. Like, should I cry? Like, I don't know. Anyways, so found out it was my ACL, and then my teammates all, like, brought me, like, chocolates, and, like, I got some flowers from some people, and it was just, like, it was really sweet, and I had no idea, like, where to go from there. I was like, I don't know what to do. So that was what happened in the first scrimmage with a little extra sauce. I gave you guys some extra depth there. But,
what were your emotions when you found out, besides being awkward?
So awkward. No, because I think it was just, like, shock. Like, I was, like, I didn't know what to think. And then, like, a few days later, it just, like, set in because it was, like, your guys' first home opener. And I remember, like, I dreamt of that day since I was a high schooler, like, playing in my first home opener as a, you know, Division I athlete. And I was just so, like, distraught. Like, I remember crying in sports med, like, tearing up when Neil was, like, giving his pregame speech of, like, super hype, like, let's go. This is the first home opener, like, blah, 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 blah. And I just remember just being so sad, like, being like, wait, like, this was supposed to be my first game. Like, this was supposed to be my time. And
you wish that was you, huh?
Yeah. No, you wish that was you, huh? No, I did. And I think it was just really hard because I was trying to be happy for you and, like, happy for everybody else. But I was just, like, so sad that that wasn't me. Because I kept, like, replaying, like, all my emotions of, like, excitement and being like, that's actually so depressing that I can't feel those. And, yeah, I was just, like, really sad. And, like, that whole season, like, you guys traveled and I couldn't travel. So I kind of just stayed at the dorm, or, like, my brother would pick me up and bring me to his apartment downtown. We'd watch your games, and he would fall asleep, and I'd be like, Parker, wake up, Libby just scored again. And he'd be like, I'll watch it on Twitter later. I'm like, okay, dude. So classic. But yeah, I just remember, like, you know, you guys coming back from trips and talking about it and being, like, all excited and yada yada yada, and yeah, I don't know, just talking about your memories and talking about the games. And I just, like, didn't care. I was kind of, like, just checking out. I was eating a ton of ice cream and junk food,
failing your test,
yeah, sleeping during tests.
So what advice would you give to someone who's, like, going through that same time frame, like, maybe just tore an ACL, or they were really excited for a big event and they got hurt, or something like that?
I would just say, like, let it suck. Like, don't try to pretend to anybody that you're okay, and you don't have to pretend that you're, like, so happy for everybody. Like, you know, I've talked on this podcast before, like, two things can be true. Like, you can be super happy for your teammates, and you can also be super, super sad about yourself. And you don't, like, your teammates, I can't promise you this, but I can highly likely promise you, like, that your teammates are not going to be mad at you for, like, saying that this sucks and being upset and just feeling how you truly feel. And I would just say, like, just sit in it and kind of feel, like, you know, it's okay to feel bad for yourself once in a while and feel like life's unfair and feel like you didn't deserve this. And it's okay to feel those feelings, and just know that, like, you have to kind of channel that energy into your recovery and into whatever it is that you're trying to come back for. And you have to use all of those emotions into something, because I felt like when I was waiting for my surgery, I didn't have anything to do besides, like, you know, rehab, but, like, my knee was fine. So I was just, like, waiting for surgery to happen, and I was just, like, so lost. But then once surgery happened, I was able to start, like, seeing timelines and really being able to push myself on the bike and, you know, with weights and stuff like that. That's when I started to, like, have a little more, like, excitement and passion in things because I could channel my emotions and energy towards that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And then, like, what advice would you give to, like, a friend or a family member of someone who's going through that situation? Like, what would you have wanted or maybe wish someone did or that someone did do for you?
Yeah. I feel like you can also talk about, like, your experience a little bit, too, as being, like, a loved one and how it felt for you. But I think any advice I would give to somebody who's supporting somebody that's going through an injury or any setback in life is just, like, don't push them and don't try to tell them how to feel. Like, don't be, like, it's okay. Like, you're going to feel bad. Like, everything's going to work out. Do not say everything happens for a reason. Just don't. Like, don't say it. I don't care if you're thinking it. Don't utter the words. A lot of people will just be like, you're the strongest person I know. Like, you can come back stronger than this. And it's just like, you don't feel like you are. You feel like you're actually the weakest person because you just went through a surgery. And I don't know. I think I would just say, like, support them and meet them where they're at. Like, if they're having a good day, try to match that energy. Try to be like, you know, why was it good? And try to, like, be on that energy. And if they're, like, having a really hard day, you know, that doesn't mean you have to have a really bad day too, but that means you can kind of hide some of your emotions. If you did have a good day, you can kind of go to somebody else and do that. And I would also just say, like, just kind of be aware of what you're saying around them. Like, be aware if you're having conversations about, you know, the field, playing soccer, or if it's something else. Like, just be aware. Obviously, the person who's going through the injury is aware that people are going to make mistakes and say things around them that they probably don't want to hear. But just try to be aware, I guess, of what you're saying. But the biggest thing I would say is just try to meet them where they're at and kind of match their energy, because it's really hard when you're going through such a hard time and everybody just, like, comes back and is so happy and laughing and talking, and you're trying to get there, but you just can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, like, another important point would be just, like, don't make comments like, oh my god, I wish I was injured right now, or like, oh my god, I wish I would sprain my ankle on this curb right now so I didn't have to run. Yeah. Like, those are not
fun to hear.
That's just, like, not helpful for someone who's already been out for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I caught myself saying it all the time. Like, if we had to do a time mile on the indoor track in the middle of January, like, I'm like, someone run me over. But, like, yeah. Which I think it's, like, it's good. It's all fun and games. Like, it's a joke. But I think sometimes...
Just say that to another person who's about to run the track.
When I would hear someone saying it in front of someone injured, I'm just like, ooh, that's not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say it in front of someone else, but then I would also catch myself doing it. So it's like, I get it, but it's like, I don't know. I think, like you just said, it's like being aware, knowing your audience and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it's important to, on both ends, you know, just be understanding that, you know, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to have days where you freak out on your loved ones and they don't mean it. And, you know, just kind of have more empathy when people are going through things like that. Even if it in your mind isn't that big, it's just like a small injury. Like, it makes you irritable. You're in pain. You're jealous of people who are fine and all of those things. But do you want to talk a little bit about how it was for you when that happened to me?
Sure. I mean, obviously it was just like, it just sucked because, I mean, we never played a game without each other for like so long, like our whole lives pretty much. So I think I was like scared, for myself and for you. Cause obviously
so like, you picked me.
It's just facts. Yeah, no, I think it's just like, when you see someone you love, like, in a lot of pain and going through stuff, like, that's never going to be easy. Mm-hmm. But it was especially hard because I was also, like, thriving.
Yeah.
So I think it was balancing that, like, feeling bad, but also, like, wanting to feel happy. not really knowing like how those emotions were supposed to intertwine. But yeah, I don't know. I would just say, like, looking back, I would just advise myself to take it like more day by day and kind of just like celebrate both of our victories, but also understand that like every day is going to be very, very different, I guess. But yeah, mostly I just like felt super bad because ACLs in general are just like so, so hard. And trying to come back, and then COVID hit and you were still trying to recover and we didn't know when we were going to play. You weren't able to see like a trainer and go to real physical therapy, and like it was just a hot mess and you were always in pain. And it's just like, I don't know, it's not fun, because I was just like ready to be back together playing. Like I was like, mm-hmm. All right, like after a couple months I'm like, okay, this is annoying, like I don't want to do this by myself anymore, type thing. But yeah, I mean, I think the freshman fall was like hard, but it was also like really fun for me, like traveling and playing and doing so well. But I guess I was just so used to sharing it, and sharing it like with each other was like fun. Like some people think of it as like a negative thing, sharing the spotlight, but I think we both found it super fun. So I think it just like took some of the joy out of it, because like you're not mm-hmm. getting to do it with your best friend. So it's not as fun.
Yeah.
And knowing you're not there because like you're in pain and going through something also doesn't add anything to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it definitely added more humor to me going through this. As why I'm naturally funnier than Libby. But yeah, for context, I had surgery August 31st, and then COVID hit that March. So I was sent home just trying to do rehab on my own, not really knowing what I was doing. But, you know, going along with it, you know, having my dad try to, like, massage my calves and IT bands and stuff like that. Like, and then when I went to PT, like, when they started opening in, like, June or whatever, my PT mm-hmm. was like, yeah, when you walked in, I thought you were 3 months out. And I was 8. And that obviously is not fun to hear after you've worked for 8 months. But I was in a lot of pain. And eventually I found out why, but we'll get there. And so then, yeah, we came back for that fall. And COVID was still there, so we didn't have a season. And then we played like an 8-game season in the spring. And it was interesting. I mean, I don't even know. Explain that season. It was kind of wild. We made it to the chip.
Yeah, we made it to the chip.
That was crazy, though. Yeah.
I played a lot of minutes, I think, that season. Not like every minute, but I played a lot.
Humble brag.
Yeah, I was also selected to the all rookie team. Anyways, it was just like a season. And so, like, I remember I was just in a lot of pain. And then I called my mom on the bus ride home from UMass Lowell because we had lost in the championship. And I was like, I need to get in to see my surgeon. Like, I've been dying this whole season. I've been trying not to tell anybody because I wanted to play. That was my first time ever playing. And I was a sophomore. And I was about to head to my junior year. Mm-hmm. So then we go to my surgeon. He's like, we don't really know what's going on. Like, we could, like, go in and take out, like, some nerves or, like, I don't know, do some stuff. And, you know, my parents were like, we don't think you should do that. And the trainers were like, you know, we don't think you should do that. So we think you should try, like, PRP injections. So I'll sum it up, like, quick. It's, like, where they take blood out of your arm, spin it in this machine, pull the platelets out, and then, you know, with a giant needle, push it back into where you're having pain. Which was honestly one of the most painful things I've ever gone through in my life. They stabbed a knee, like, right at the top of my knee, like, where my patella tendon is. And then I had to do another two weeks. So I had to give two of them. And I was in a straight leg locked out brace for 4 weeks. And, like, couldn't drink alcohol because your blood had to be completely clean.
I'm pretty sure you were underage anyways.
I meant
So I don't seltzers. Know why that's an issue.
I meant drinking seltzers that have, like, you know, stuff in them. And anyways, so then I had to, like, rehab my leg again because after the 4 weeks, I lost a ton of muscle. So I'm doing rehab to get my leg strong and back. And then we start our junior season. I don't even know where we started that, like, season.
What?
Like, I don't even remember that season. Like, where was our first game?
I don't know. I feel like it was at home.
Anyways, I played that whole season. I'm still in pain. The PRP injections did, like, nothing. And Libby was out with an ankle sprain for a couple games. We had a couple girls out with concussions. So I'm playing, and this is when overtime was still in effect. So if we were tied, we're going to overtime. So we're playing, like, what, 110 minutes in conference, like, back to back. We went into overtime like four times. And yeah, I'm not having it. I'm in a lot of pain, but, like, I'm not telling anybody, like, I'm sitting out. That's when we get to our quarterfinal game where we're at Albany and about, like, 20 minutes in. I'm like, this girl's dribbling at me in the middle of the field. I'm, like, trying to contain, you know, and, like, shift my hips. And I shifted a little too hard and tore my ACL again on the same leg. So that was really fun. Yeah. The announcers, as the girl goes by me, like, what a move. I'm like, I literally, it looks like a sniper shot me. Like, she clearly didn't make a move around me. She just saw me fall and then dribbled past me.
I will literally never forget. Tori was on the ground, like, screaming, like, I'm not doing this again. Sobbing, like, I'm not doing this again. And me and Maya were standing there, like, and then Kara was like, and you're like, yeah, I just tore my ACL again. And Kara was like, okay. And then Mom is, like, on the sidelines, like, I'm right here, baby. I'm right here. I'm like, what is going on?
Imagine that, everyone listening. Your mom, you're a junior in college, screaming from the sidelines for everybody to hear. Like, I'm right here, baby. Like, Mommy's here.
No, that was crazy. But, like, honestly, the way you were screaming, like, I will never get that out of my head. But then at halftime, I, like, I'm drinking water, whatever, and Neil's like, let's go, we're meeting in the corner. And then I hear, like, great job, Livy, keep it up. I'm like, I turn around and Mom's standing on the sidelines. I'm like, how the heck did you get over here? There's supposed to be security.
Yeah, that was a wild. So, no, I remember it vividly too. When I went down, I was, like, streaming, but then I, like, stopped, like, as soon as Neil and Kara came out, because I was just like, well, it is what it is. It just happened. So then I'm, like, walking off with Neil and Kara, like, not, like, literally just walking off because I know I can walk at this point.
Right.
And I sit down on the bench and I'm like, Kara, can I go back in? She was like, you just told me you tore your ACL. I was like, I was just playing. Like, I was just messing with you. She was like, no, you're not going back in the game. And like, they have a doctor there who, like, checks me out and is like, yeah, you know, can't tell, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's halftime and my mom comes over and I turn around. She's like, gives me a big hug. And obviously I start to tear up again, normally, right? And she's like, see, I knew you needed your mom right now. I'm like, I promise you I didn't. I promise you I'm just tearing up because I just tore my ACL.
No, you needed her over there. I'm like, how are you getting on the sidelines of a Division I playoff soccer game and talking to me at halftime? But, I mean,
you find a way.
When she puts her mind to something, it's going to get done.
Mama Bear found a way.
Yeah, and Grace was also on the sidelines that game because she got too many yellow cards and had to sit out. I'm like, what is actually happening today?
So, like, the two of us are just bowling on the sidelines, like, I'm like,
that was, like, a very, like, spooky October Halloween day.
Yeah.
That sums it up.
It really was. It was, like, in that, I mean, like, Grace, like, is so funny in those situations because I, like, love being around people, like, in that situation because she just, like, knows not to say anything to me. Like, she didn't even try to hug me. She didn't even try to say a word. Like, she's just, like, like laughing. And I'm like, thank you. Because that's exactly what I need right now. Like, some of my teammates like were trying to
help. Oh, are you okay?
Yeah. I'm so, like, sorry. So cute.
She's just, like, laughing.
Yeah. Like, they're so sweet. But I'm just like, get out of my face. Like, the last thing I want right now is, like, pity. Like, I want somebody to laugh. Like, because that's my dark humor. And mm-hmm. then, so, we end up losing the quarterfinal. And we're, like, walking off the field. And I'm, like, giving hugs to everybody. And, like, I just, like, I was, like, I want to go shower, guys. Like, I don't feel like talking right now. So, I'm in the shower. And, like, one of our teammates comes in. And I'm just showering. And she's so cute. She's, like, are you okay, Tori? And I'm, like, no. Like, I just tore my ACL again. She's, like, oh, no. But you don't know that for sure, right? Like, you never know until the MRI. I'm, like, oh, honey. Like, I know. Like, it, like, I was just, like, it was so sweet. But I'm, like, when you do it a second time, like, you're confident you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember just, like, laughing and just being like, what is my life? Yeah, so this was, yeah, Halloween. So, you know, it was about to be November, and then, you know, we have to be ready by August. So I was like, I don't know what to do. So we head down to a surgeon because I wasn't going to go to the same surgeon after my first one. His name's Dr. Pearl in New York City at HSS. And, you know, talk to him. He's like, yeah, we can get you in the 17th of November. I was like, perfect. And yeah, I remember like Neil calling me, our head coach, and being like, T, like, if you don't want to do this, like, you don't have to do this. Like, you don't, you know, have to do this again. I was like, no, I'm doing this. Like, I'm coming back and playing. So, that's that.
Period.
And so I got surgery November 17th, worked my way, did a PT, everything, and got cleared before even preseason started. And, you know, played. I had some trouble with my trainers getting cleared early because they're a little more reserved, but ended up playing in our first game. I subbed in at Buffalo. And, yeah, when I came off, I think, like, a big part of recovery is, like, envisioning yourself playing in that first game back. Like, for me, I knew I wasn't going to start in my first game back. So I would picture myself running in at half, like, at half field and running in and subbing out one of my teammates. And that was something I always did when I ran on the Alter G, which is, like, a bodyweight treadmill or something like that. And that's definitely something that helped me come back. But yeah, that's what I came back. Yeah, in August, and then I played my senior season. We made it to the championship game of the America East, hosted it. And I missed my penalty kick, and we lost. So that was disheartening. But yeah, that's pretty much my injury stories. I feel
what
like.
What would you tell someone who is going through another injury after they came and worked so hard to get through the first one?
Laugh. Like, I don't know. I think the only way to get through is to kind of just, like, make jokes throughout. Like, I don't know. Just know that, like, you did it the first time. So now this time you're going to know every step and you're not going to need your trainers to tell you what to do. You're going to know when you're able to push yourself. You're going to know, like, when you need to stop because you're in pain, which mm-hmm. I never actually did. You're gonna just know a lot more. And so, like, just kind of, like, lean into that more, have a little more confidence. And I remember, too, Kara, when I tore it the second time, was like, you're not gonna mope around like you did the first time. Like, you're a junior now. Like, of course. And she's like, you're not going to mope around. Like, you're going to be a leader. Like, you're still going to do all this stuff. So I feel like my junior spring, I tried to be a bit of, like, a coach in some ways and try to bring, like, energy during spring games and practices and just uplift my teammates. But I would say, too, like, really take care of yourself. Like, for me, that was going to therapy the first time I tried. And I just didn't have a really good experience with my therapist and just didn't go back because I just didn't feel comfortable in that space. And then the second time around, I tried to give it another chance. And, you know, it really, really worked out for me for the better. I kind of learned how to harness a lot of my emotions. I learned just a lot about myself and about how to really have self-appreciation. Because before that, I don't really think I ever heard that term or knew what that meant. But it means, like, being proud of yourself and just, like, telling yourself that you're doing a good job, too. And, like, stopping to appreciate the little things you're doing. Because I think sometimes we go through life without self-appreciation, but we appreciate what everybody else does. And we always say things like that, so why don't we do it for ourselves? So taking care of yourself in whatever ways that is, like, if you need to take breaks, if you need to, you know, if you don't want to come back and play, if you don't want to come back and do something, if this setback was like, yeah, I'm done, it's a sign, like, I don't want to do this anymore, just listen to your heart and listen to whatever you want to do. But yeah,
that's great advice.
Thanks.
You are a warrior.
An absolute warrior.
Yeah. No, I just think it can be, like, very discouraging. But I think, like you said, the second time you were a lot more, like, prioritizing your mental health. And, like, if you don't want to go to PT that day, like, you didn't. And not that you, like, ever really did that. But it was, like, once or twice. It was, like, a snow day. And you're, like, I'm not going to force myself to do this. Like, I know that one day isn't going to ruin all this progress I've made. And, like, not right. feeling, like, so crappy anytime you did something to prioritize yourself, because, like, yeah. you still came back in 8 months and beat the odds out of everything while also taking care of yourself. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
I think that's important.
That's a really good point. I kind of forget about that, but yeah, like, it's not that my standards dropped of, like, what I should be doing. It was more like realizing, like, just because I'm going to push myself extra hard, that actually might make it worse. Like, which it did, which I forgot to explain. When I went in for my second surgery, they found a Cyclops lesion, which is where part of your ACL starts to tear and ball up in the front of your knee. So part of my ACL was at the front of my knee for those seasons that I played in pain. So Dr. Pearl had cleaned it all out and cleared it all out, and he moved my ACL too, and attached my IT band to my ACL. And now, like, I don't have any front knee pain, but if I had, like, I don't know if I had, like, listened to myself, but if I had, like, because I knew something was wrong the first time, but I just kept pushing through and putting my head down. The second time, I was a lot more aware. I communicated more with my trainers about how I felt. And, yeah, like you said, just prioritized more of, like, my life outside of soccer. Because when you go through, like, an injury or a setback like this, you kind of lose a part of your identity. Like, you know, when freshman year, I was like, who am I? Like, I'm Tori, the soccer player who's good at soccer. Like, that's it. And, like, looking back now, like, however many years out, you start to look for the silver linings and things like this. And I have so much appreciation because I learned so much about myself, about my capabilities, about my resilience. And I learned, like, you know, my passion for mental health and, you know, for social work. So I've just started to take those things out. So if you're going through something like that right now, think about, like, in a few years, I might look back and be able to take really amazing things out of this process and learn a lot about myself.
Yeah. Love that, Queen. Do you have any, like, closing remarks or advice for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, I'm sure, like, you all have been through something in your life or will go through something in your life that, you know, is a setback, or it's an injury, or it's, you know, something that goes kind of wrong that you weren't expecting, right? And I want you to know that, like, as soon as something like that happens, take time to process it. Don't just try to move on to a solution or move on to, like, recovery so fast that you can't even process what just happened. It's okay to, like, feel the feelings. It's okay to, like, mourn that loss. Like, I, you know, I still do. Imagine if that never happened, the soccer player I could have been, the person, like, the player, the awards, all of that. But that's not what happened. So if I just continue to, you know, try to say, what if that didn't happen, instead of being like, look what I've got from it. So I think if you don't take that time to process it, you might get caught in that cycle. So really take time to process what's happened, be sad, mourn kind of who you were before the injury or who you were before the setback, and then start to look for ways you can change for the better and look for how this process can help you. You know, I tried to, when I wasn't on the field, be a better teammate off the field. You know, I tried to not really focus on my studies, but I tried to find other passions in my life because it was kind of my first glimpse, like soccer isn't forever for me. So I need to find other areas of my life that I'm passionate about and other things that make me me. That's not just soccer. And, you know, I think I found out like too, like no matter what you're going through, like, yeah, your personality might hide for a little bit and you might miss who you were, your bubbly self or something, but like you're always going to find your way through it if you just stay true to who you are and don't let this kind of injury or setback define you, but let it shape you and let it kind of build you and grow you. But I don't know. I think of Paige going through her ACL right now, and it's just like, I feel so much for her. She's a teammate of ours, and, you know, it's just so hard, but it's like when you have a passion for something and you want to come back for it, like, you just have to use that fuel. You have to use that passion. You have to envision yourself coming back on the field, and that's what's going to kind of carry you into that next chapter.
Beautiful advice.
You've been such a good listener tonight.
I'm working on my listening skills. I feel like I'm doing a great job.
No, you really are. Truly, truly amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And, yeah. Tori, what do we usually say at the end?
I don't know. We usually say, go follow us on Instagram at recently.retired. Yes, please share with your friends or anybody you think might enjoy this episode or any other episodes that we've talked about. You know, have a wonderful week ahead. And
we'll see you next week.
Yes, bye everyone.
Bye.